chapter number 10. Let's stand as we read, beginning in verse number 25. I'll read from Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse number 25. We're going to read the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" You know, have you ever thought about the fact that this man, he was tempting Jesus, but he asked him a very important question. And I ask you, what kind of questions do people ask you? This lawyer asked Jesus, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse number 26, "He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?' And he said, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Go and do thou likewise.'" Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege that I have tonight of preaching your word. But Lord, I recognize that without your help, without the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, it is useless for me to stand here behind this sacred desk. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. And, Lord, begin with me and touch me. Lord, we know that we need to hear from you tonight. And, Lord, I pray that you would have your will and your way done in our lives. Oh, Lord God, we need you tonight. And, Heavenly Father, I pray that whatever you would do, not only would it bring honor and glory to your name, but, Lord, that it would change us to make us to be more like you. Lord, please remove from our midst any obstacle that would hinder the working of your Holy Spirit. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. You may be seated. When Jesus Christ was here upon this earth, one of the methods that he used, and the primary method perhaps we might say, that he used to teach were the parables. The parables are an amazing literary use as we read them. They're amazing stories, but these stories always contain certain elements that teach us a spiritual truth. As we look into the parables, there are always three things that we ought to look for. First of all, I would encourage you, as you look into any of the parables, to look for that which is unusual, because you will always find something in the parables that is somewhat unusual. You look here in this parable, and the unusual thing is that here you have a Samaritan man who is helping a Jewish man to be able to get help. That's very unusual. Secondly, you should always look for the kingdom connection, that which connects this story to eternity, that which connects this story to heaven, that which connects us today, where we are, to God and to his coming kingdom. And then the third thing that we ought to look for in every parable is ourselves, because as we read and study the parables, we will find ourselves if we look closely enough. The parables are so designed so that every single person, as they read and study them, should be able to learn something and to be able to grow from these parables. And so it is with the parable of the Good Samaritan. We see here in this particular parable a story that is very sad. It is sad because there is a man who is now cast upon the ground. He has been beaten up. He's bleeding. He's hurt. He needs medical attention. And two of the greatest men that you could possibly have come by at the right time, happen to come by. These are men who certainly would have helped, And yet, strangely enough, they keep walking past and do absolutely nothing to help this poor man who is beaten up. That is absolutely astounding. And yet, is it not true even of ourselves that we can very simply, very easily pass by people who are in great need and it does not affect us? We can go to church and we can hear a message. We can hear a missions presentation about Greece and we can see the pictures and we are so cold and so hardened that it does absolutely nothing to change our heart and to change our desire to see those people be saved. We say to ourselves, that's not my problem. And is that not what the Levite and the priest said as they walked past this man who was in such great need? And yet, we know that there are needs, and sometimes we're overwhelmed by those needs. Perhaps as we look at those needs, we feel like it's my responsibility to meet all of them, and obviously I can't. But is it not true that we know the one who can meet every need? Our Savior is able to meet every need. As we look here in this passage, however, we see something very important concerning this particular parable, because this parable is in response to a question. Now, the question was not asked in the right way, perhaps. Perhaps this question was not asked with the sincerity that it should have been asked. And yet the answer is dead on. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 25. It says, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, as we look into the Scripture as Christians, we know that the Bible was written for us. The Bible is not written for unsaved people. An unsaved person gets a hold of the Word of God, begins to read it, has absolutely no idea what it's talking about. I mean, folks, the Bible never says that it was written for unsaved people. The Bible was written for Christians. The Bible was written for people who have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But as Christians, as we look into the Bible, what are we supposed to be looking for? Well, I would encourage you to look for three things. First of all, every time you look into Scripture, look for the what. What is it that it's saying? Secondly, ask yourself how you should apply it to yourself. And then third, ask yourself, why did God write this for me? And so as we look here in this passage, I would like for you to see that we can answer all three of those questions in this particular passage concerning the subject of eternal life. Now, we're gathered together as children of God, and most people in this room would say, yes, sir, I absolutely believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. But how is it that we know that? Well, as we look here into this passage, we see three different areas that I'd like for us to look at. First of all, the setting. The setting is you have this lawyer who comes to Jesus and he says to him, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so he's kind of got, you know, a two-faced question here. He's not asking him in sincerity and in truth, but he does ask him this important question of, what am I supposed to do to inherit eternal life? Now notice he asked a what question, but he asked the wrong what. Okay? And a lot of people today are asking the wrong question. They want the right answer, but they don't even know the right question to ask. The question, Jesus then turns it around, and he says to him in verse number 26, what is written in the law? You see, you and I, if we're going to answer the questions that we have that need to be answered, we need to first ask this, what does God say about whatever it is? You know, sometimes we come to church and we're looking for answers and we're saying, oh God, please speak to me tonight. I need to hear from you. We have huge decisions that we're facing, financial decisions, social decisions, decisions concerning our family, our future, and we're saying, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And do you know that God has an answer for every one of those questions? And the way to get the answer is to ask yourself, what does God say about this? And oh, I'll tell you what, when you hear from God, oh, does it ever bring peace and joy to your heart? Because you can say, I've heard from the Lord. I know what I'm supposed to do. Ooh, praise the Lord for that. And you know, as we look here into this parable, we find out that this lawyer, he heard this what from Jesus. He heard what he's supposed to do. But I want you to notice what he says in verse number 27. He says, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. But in verse number 29, he says, but he willing to justify himself. You know, when we're confronted with the Scripture, what is our position? Are we trying to do God's will? Or are we just trying to justify ourselves? Listen, folks, that is a very important question, because if I come to church and I'm not really here to try to find out what God wants me to do or what God actually is saying, I'm just here to try to justify myself for who I am and what I'm doing, and I believe, okay, I'm right, and I've got to figure out some way to justify what I'm doing and why I'm here. Woe unto us. I wish that every person in this room would have the humility to be able to step back and say, okay, Lord, do you have something that you want me to do that I'm not doing? Is there something in my life that needs to change? And Lord, if your word will show that to me, Lord, help me to have the humility to do whatever that is. And so the setting here is this lawyer. And he's still not willing to listen to what Jesus has said. He's trying to justify himself. And so then after the setting, we see the second thing, which is the story. Jesus tells him a story. And you know, sometimes a story is the best way to get a person's attention, because they're not willing to listen to something dead on. And so Jesus uses this parable. And what is the story here? Well, this story is Jesus' explanation of how to apply that which, watch this, the lawyer already knew. He was an expert. He could quote chapter and verse. He had it memorized. But he didn't know how to apply it. And so we find here that Jesus gives this story, and he talks about a man who's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And by the way, that man represents all mankind. And he gets beaten up, and he gets thrown by the side of the road. And now he's dying, and he needs help. And what do you know? Some people come by that should have helped and they didn't. And then a guy who should not have helped came by and he did. And not only that, he paid the price for this guy to be taken care of. And he's willing to do anything at all to help this man who was in such desperate need. And you say, wow, that is absolutely amazing. But can I tell you something about this story? This story is exactly what has happened in your life and in my life. Because we as sinners were cast down, and we were trodden down, and we were beaten up, and we were rejected by the world, and people came by who could have helped us and should have helped us, and they didn't. And then by God's grace, someone came along and shared the truth with us, and we were able to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And folks, can I just tell you that the greatest thing that you can share with anyone is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, you can tell them how to make money. You can tell them how to get a good job. You can tell them all kinds of things. But unless we share the gospel with them, we are not helping someone truly unless they know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These two guys that come by, the Levite and the priest, they had the truth. They had what that man needed. They were of his own race. And yet they did nothing, absolutely nothing to help him. And so then we get to the important part, and Jesus preaches a sermon. You see the setting? Here's the lawyer. He's justifying himself. And then you see the story that Jesus gives, and then Jesus comes in for the sermon. And I want you to see this sermon. You see, the first thing that we notice is that Jesus turned the question at the beginning. Do you remember the first question that the lawyer asked is, well, who's my neighbor? And he turns it around and he says, well, who showed him love? Can I ask you that if someone were to come and say, well, now, so-and-so here, this is the kind of person they are, and I were to ask them, what kind of love do they have for others? What would they say about you? A few days ago, I was in the office of a Christian businessman, and while we were there, some of his employees started telling us stories about their boss. Now, he wasn't paying them to tell us these stories. These are just true stories that they were telling because that's the way that this man lives. Can I tell you something? This man has a reputation for doing right and for helping others. And when you do right and you help others, you don't have to go spread the stories yourself. Everybody's going to know. And by the way, if you don't help others, everybody knows that as well. And so here you see this man, and he begins to catch on to what's going on here. And Jesus does an amazing thing because he addresses four basic responses that people have towards eternal life. You know, as you look around the world and as you study several different religions and as you go to Africa, you go to Asia, you look at different people groups, there are basically four responses as to what people think you must do in order to go to heaven and spend eternity with Christ or spend eternity with God or whoever they think is going to be there in eternity. Number one, they think it's a reward. Do you notice what this lawyer said at the beginning? He said, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's a reward. And Jesus shows him, this man who needed help, he didn't get a reward. Maybe he deserved it, perhaps, but that's not the way that he got help. And this is in the context of eternal life, okay? This is the story which teaches how you're supposed to get eternal life. And it's not by reward. It's not by things that you do. And if you're here tonight and you believe that because you were born into a Christian family and your reward is that your parents tithe and your parents came to church and sat here, and you believe that because of all that, one day when you stand before God, God's going to say, "Hey, come right on in, man. That's your reward." Forget it. That is not the way that a person gets saved. The second thing that we see here is religion. You see the priest. Oh, he's all dressed up in his robes. He looks good. He's just come down from Jerusalem. He probably was involved in some sort of a sacrifice just a few hours before. Oh, he had everything that everyone was supposed to know about religion. He was the man. People would look at him and say, "Oh, wow, look at that religious man. He's a wonderful man. Oh, he's so respected because of his religion." But can I tell you that religion did absolutely nothing to help this guy who was in need? Religion did not even for one moment change him. Religion did not do anything concerning eternal life, and no religion is able to do anything for any person in all of the world. I see people who are very religious in Mongolia. Not too many days ago, I was at the largest monastery in all of Mongolia. It is right inside of the capital city. A visiting pastor had come in and he said, "Bill, I want to visit that monastery. Would you take me there?" He asked me, "Have you ever been there?" And I said, "Actually, I've never been there before." Because I didn't want to be an obstacle in case one of the church members were to see me going into that monastery. He said, "I really want to see that because I want to be able to pray better." He said, "Would you please take me?" And I said, "Okay, I will take you." And we went inside and we watched people as they bowed before a Buddha that is 75 feet tall. And we watched them as they would spin the prayer wheels, and there were hundreds and hundreds of prayer wheels, and they would just spin them and spin them and spin them and spin them. And as they spun those prayer wheels, they were supposed to be making God in heaven to listen to their prayers, and they would spin them and spin them and spin them, but it was so empty. And you could look on their faces that there was no hope. There was no joy. They weren't getting anything out of their religion. And religion leaves a person exactly the way that they came. This man was in need. Religion came by. He was still in need. And then you see the third guy that comes by. And he signifies this Levite. Oh my, he was a good guy, wasn't he? He was one who was all about business. He was one that was all involved in his duty to serve. He was always working and rushing and cleaning and taking care of this and that and something else. He was responsibility personified. But can I tell you that responsibility does not help this man who is here on the ground? You can fulfill all the duties you want to, but you will not be changed by fulfilling responsibilities. Your reward will not get you into heaven. Your religion will not get you into heaven. Fulfilling responsibilities will not get you into heaven. That man was still in the same shape when that Levite passed by. Everybody who was around, if they had been videotaping, they would have said, surely this Levite is going to stop and help this poor guy who's there on the ground. But that Levite did absolutely nothing. He passed by. But it was not until the least likely candidate, that person who had been rejected from society. We're talking about a Samaritan, a half-breed, one who no one liked. The Gentiles didn't like him because he was part Jew. The Jews didn't like him because he was part Gentile. He didn't know who he was. His kids would say, Dad, are we Jews? Are we Gentiles? What are we? No, we're Samaritans. We're the scourge of the earth. No one likes us. Yet that Samaritan understood that this man had a need. And so he went down to him and he established a relationship. And it was a relationship between a man who had been rejected and a man who was in need. And I'm so thankful that one day when I was in need, a man who was rejected by this world came to me in my need and established a relationship that changed my life. Can I tell you that that's what you need? And that's what this world needs. Because without a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can forget about getting eternal life. You know, as we look here into this passage, we see the fact that in this sermon that Jesus was attempting to preach to this lawyer, there are some great truths that all of us need to understand as well. You and I cannot fulfill the law of Christ unless we first know the God of the law. And in order for us to be able to come to Him, we must understand that we have a great need and that our need is sin and that we cannot come to Him with our filthy rags of righteousness that we think that we have done. We must come to Him humbly. We must submit ourselves to His will and we must say, oh God, I need Your help. Jesus Christ says that him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy, that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wants us to come to Him. You know, you may be here tonight and you have a great need. You may have been facing a decision. You may be trying to figure something out in your life and you simply just don't know what to do. Can I encourage you in a few moments to leave your place and find a place here at the front of this altar? And on the basis of your relationship with Jesus Christ, just say, Lord, please help me. You know, as we look here into this passage, we are certain of something. And that is that this Samaritan was used as a great illustration of what you and I are supposed to be as well. What kind of a person am I? Maybe you'd say tonight, well, Brother Bill, actually, I'm kind of like that guy there on the ground. I'm in great need, and I need to be saved. I need eternal life. If I die tonight, I'm not certain that I'd spend eternity with Christ in heaven. Could I encourage you to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Oh, I tell you the joy that can be yours if you will just be saved. But secondly, you may be like that Levite or like that priest. And you are so wrapped up in yourself that frankly, it's just all too easy to pass by those who are in need and not even think for one moment how you are supposed to help them. And would you just come tonight and say, Lord God, help me to be soul conscious. Help me to have a love for those that are in need. Maybe you'd be here tonight and you'd just say, you know, I just need God to help me. Oh, I need to hear from heaven. Lord God, please help me in my need. Whatever it is, would you allow God to have His will done in your life? You know, as I look here into this passage, I believe that I can find myself. Sometimes where I find myself is not where I want to be. You ever looked in Scripture before and you're kind of looking at yourself in the mirror and you're saying, oh my goodness, is that the way I look? But you know, one of the things that I love about Jesus is that when you spend time with Him, you come away better than when you first got there. And I want to encourage you tonight to just take some time and say, Lord, I want to be with You. I want to spend some time with You. This lawyer, he finally got the picture. In verse number 37, he said, he that showeth mercy on him, then said Jesus, go and do thou likewise. And the command for us tonight is to go and do likewise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege that we have of knowing your word. Lord, how many people on earth tonight do not have the privilege of being able to read and study the Bible as we have just in these last few moments? They don't have the liberty to gather together and to assemble as we have here, Lord. And so, Lord, with all of these great privileges that we have received, I pray that you would also help us to be responsible to do that which you want us to do. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take control of this invitation. And Lord, of that which you are speaking to us about, help us to do your will. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed and no one's looking around, is there anyone here tonight that would say, you know, Brother Bill, fact is I need to be saved. I do not.